This is a change of position for me because normally I'm leaving here and going back to teach to the kids. So if ushers would like to come forward real quick, we'll pray for the offering. I just wanted to say, Grace, so far you guys have been doing an awesome job in giving and tithing. Normally, July's a downtime, and it hasn't been a downtime, praise God. It hasn't been a downtime for Grace. So, awesome job. Keep doing it. Just follow whatever's on your heart. And I'm going to pray real quick for the offering, and then they're going to show a video, and then we'll continue on in the service. Dear Lord, I thank You for this day and this time we've gathered together. And I pray as people give that every penny that's given is used for Your will, Lord. That every penny that hits that plate is used for what You have desired for it, Lord. And I just pray for all the members here at Grace, everyone that attends, that You just give them an abundance, Lord. And You just touch them as they go. Amen. This morning. It looks like through the cracks I can see in the curtain, the sun is shining. So the clouds have passed. It's going to be supposed to be a nice day from what I've heard. I'm going to start back. I'm going to read the verse again to you, the Ephesians 2. We're going to pull it up on the screen. You can follow along in your Bibles or on the screen. It's Ephesians 2, 1 through 5. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world and the ruler of the kingdom of air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desire and thoughts. Like the rest, we were nature's objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. The first thing I want to do this morning is define dead. What is dead? I went online and I was like, I don't use a Webster's dictionary. I don't think I have a dictionary in my house. So I went online to dictionary.com and typed in dead. What's the meaning of dead? And there was only one definition there. And it said, no longer living, deprived of life. And when I think of deprived of life, I consider Jesus is life. God is life. So when we were dead in our transgressions, when we were without God, when we were without life, that's powerful to me. Think about it, all comes together. As we were dead, deprived of life, separated from God, we were part of the world. We have all sinned. We have all been there. We all know the ways of the world, and we go from there. All of us, verse 3. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. Craving. It says right at the beginning. It says, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature. What is a craving? Another definition. Craving, great or eager desire, or a yearning, a longing for. We desire these things of the earth, but they're not always right. Our bodies might desire it. Our minds might desire it. It's funny. So Lisa the other day gave me some brownies, they were awesome. So I'm walking by them in the house. And I'm like, man, I just want to eat that whole thing. I just want to eat. It was a good little size of brownie. I was craving it through the day. I couldn't wait to come home from work to eat this brownie. My mouth was watering. Everything was going. And I got home and I was like, you know what? Just a little piece. I teased myself. Just a little piece. I took off a little piece and I ate it. And I walked away. And about an hour later, I started craving it again. I wanted it. I wanted it. I wanted more of that brownie. So I went and broke off another little piece. Finally, by the end of the night, I had walked by the brownie so much, it was gone. So, and then I was looking around the house like, what sweet can I eat next? So, also, another thing I thought about when I thought about craving or being drawn to, I thought about a giant magnet. And first thing I think about when I think about a giant magnet is Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner. Wile E. Coyote was always trying to get the Roadrunner. He put little metal beads in the road so that when the Roadrunner came by, he pecked them up. But Wile E. Coyote never thought that when he put that magnet out, it'd draw him to a train instead of the Roadrunner. So when I think about craving, when I think about desire, when I think about being drawn to, I think about just desiring, longing for something. But it goes on. Because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. I'm going to stop right there. I'm not going to end the verse yet. Even when we were dead in our transgressions, God didn't wait until we were good enough to send His Son to save us. He didn't say, oh, you're not ready yet, I'm not going to send my Son. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, consumed by sin. This is what blows my mind. I was sitting here talking to someone about what I was going to preach about. He said, you mean if Hitler asked to get saved, God would save Hitler after everything he did? Oh, yeah. You mean if Stalin gave his life to Christ and wanted to commit his life to Christ, does that mean that God would forgive him? Yes. So even when we were at our worst, my worst might not be that bad. Your worst might be not as bad as mine. We always come to worst and we think about, oh, my bad's not that bad. You know, I stole a couple things as a kid. I pushed someone over once in elementary school. That's about the worst of it for me. And some people are like, man, I was talking to someone the other day who spent a little bit of time in jail. And one of the guys who was down the hall from him was charged for murder. He was serving life. And he was in low security at this point in time because he was medicated now. When this gentleman, before he went to jail, was not saved. Their cells are right next to each other. And the guy who was charged for murder, let's call him Steve. Steve was tapping on my friend's window and said, hey, can I talk to you for a minute? And it was probably midnight, so they had to whisper. They couldn't be real loud. And he said, I want to tell you about what saved me. Knocking on the window, sitting in jail for life, he wants to share God. Because he found the forgiveness of his Savior. Even at his worst, he came to his best. Because God came in, Jesus came in and took over. Titus 3, 5 through 7. If you want to read along with me, we're going to bring it up here. He saved us not because of our righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing and the rebirthing and the renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously throughout Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. The next verse I'm going to throw at you real quick is Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, where we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's just showing in several parts of the Bible that it talks about the same thing. That even when we were consumed by sin, when sin was filling us, that God was willing to give His Son. Jesus was willing to die for you, everyone here, everyone on this earth. God was willing to die for us. That blows my mind that I can screw up continuously. And Christ is right there, Jesus is right there to forgive me. Because His grace is so amazing. The last of five in Ephesians is, it is by grace we have been saved. This is a basic Christian principle. For me, it was taught in children's church that God's grace and forgiveness is so strong no matter what you do. Whether you stole a cookie from the cookie jar or you snuck away some of that brownie, He still forgived you. That's the way it was taught to us. No matter what, His grace was so amazing. I was just, as I was sitting here in worship, I was thinking the song, Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. That talks about His grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was consumed by sin, but then Christ entered my life, and now I'm found. I was blind. I couldn't see what was going on in this world. I was in it, but I didn't know the difference between Christ and evil. I was blind. Once Christ entered my life, now I see what's going on. For me, I think back a couple years ago. I had totally left the church. didn't want anything to do with church anymore. I was done. I was cashed out. I was spent. Was just tired of it. And got sucked into some stuff that wasn't so good. And got lost. Forgot what I was doing. Forgot what God's plan was for me. Because I was blind and I didn't want to see it. I wasn't blinded by God, I was blinded by myself. I made the choice to walk away for what God had envisioned in my life. I made a choice to say, I don't want this anymore. I'm going that way. I made the choice. The next topic is the choice. Now we have a choice. The original title for the message was Dead or Alive. And the first thing I thought about was, you guys can think about the same song, I'm Wanted, Dead or Alive. I'm a cowboy, on my steel horse I ride. That was the first thing I thought about. And I was like, okay. And then yesterday at work, how many of you guys watch Deadliest Catch? It's the theme song for Deadliest Catch. And it came on, and I looked at my coworker, and I was like, that's the title for my message tomorrow. And he's like, can you elaborate? I was like, yeah, you have a choice. You want to be dead or alive? He's like, what are you talking about? And I said, this is perfect. I get the chance to share a little bit about what I'm teaching. And then it was funny because someone else walked up to listen, and someone else walked up to listen, and they said, break a leg tomorrow. A couple people said that to me this morning. And I said, I hope I don't. Because I'm clutchy. There's a lot of stuff on the stage. It would be really easy for me to fall and break a leg. But I got to witness. I got to share. I made a choice in my life to come back to God. But let's go to Revelations real quick. Revelations 3, 20 and 21. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come and eat with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to the seat with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Can you pull up the picture real quick, Jocelyn? I'm just going to let you guys gaze at this picture for a minute while I talk. Look it over very closely. It talks about overcome. We hear this all the time. Overcome. What is overcome? Is it I overcome? No. It's about humbling yourself and saying, I can't do this. It's not me who's going to overcome this. I can't do this all by myself. We always say, I need to overcome this, and then I'll be closer to God. We always say, if I overcome this, if I, we always use the word I like you're going to do it by yourself. The problem is, if you do it by yourself, you have an empty gap. If you don't let the Lord come in and fill what you're overcoming, you have an empty gap. I will overcome. No. I will surrender so He can overcome. That's what it's about. It's not about I. It's not about me. It's about Him molding me to make me what He wants. That's what the choice is about. The choice to life or the choice to death is about the choice of surrender. Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to humble yourself and say, this is not me. I am a tool of God. And letting Him totally and utterly consume your body. In the picture, Jesus is knocking at the door, but do you guys notice something missing? There's no handle on the door. The painter painted this on purpose. He was striving so hard to say that we have a choice. Do we want to open that door when He knocks? If you hear my voice, you know, I think about the door-to-door salesman. Yeah, you look out the window and you hear them saying, hey, I got a Kirby vacuum to sell you. And the first thing everyone does is shut all the lights off and duck. You heard His voice. You want nothing to do with it. You have the choice to let Him in so you can overcome. He doesn't let Himself in. There's no handle. Yes, God can open any door. God can do anything. God has that power. But He doesn't use it in this case. He says, okay, if you make the choice to let me in, we will overcome. I will sit at your house and eat. You will sit at my throne. That blows my mind. Can you imagine sitting on Jesus' throne right next to God? You will sit on my throne. I don't know if you know anything about back in the day when they had kings and stuff, but a king's throne was a king's throne. The only other person to sit in a king's throne was his son, or the next heir of the throne. So, for me, I will give you the right to sit with me on my throne just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on His throne. So, I can sit on Jesus' throne. I can sit there. That means I'm an heir. That means I'm going to inherit the riches of heaven. If I make the choice. If I let God come in. I could say, nah, forget it. Walk away. I could throw him out. I could say, don't want this anymore. See ya. Have a nice day. I could make that choice. That's where you come in. You make the choice. Do you want to follow? Do you want to let him in? Do you want to overcome? Or do you say you want to overcome so it looks pretty, but really deep down inside you're not willing to give that up? I know I wouldn't have been able to give up that brownie the other day. That was so good. I didn't want to share it with nobody. But do you want to overcome? Do you want to let him in? I will stand at the door and knock. If you choose to open the door when you hear my voice, I will sit at your table and eat with you and you with me. Make the choice. It's your choice. I just have a few more things. Not going to go real long. You guys kind of see I have a bag up here, and it's kind of heavy. Full of rocks. And a couple months ago, a few months ago, with the youth, we did a crosswalk. And there were 10 posts. There was a commandment at every post. And if you had broken that commandment, you took a stone and you threw it in your sack. Well, the trick was, I can't do this. My bag broke. When I tried setting it up this morning, my bag broke. It won't hold anything. That's how heavy it is. The trick was, this is supposed to be hanging around your neck. So, you see this, just this little bit right here is hanging around the back of your neck. So as you add another rock, and you add another rock, it starts digging in and getting heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. Most of them took 9 rocks. Some of them took 10. Some of them felt so bad they took 2 at one post. But this crosswalk was so important because the story behind it is that at the end of the walk, they come out back and there's a big cross that we put out there and we put in the ground, beautiful cross. And there was a fire pit there. And I was outside just playing some worship music. And God filled my heart and basically lit a fire in me to write a song about the experience. And so I remember everything very vividly. I'm sitting outside, and I remember the first kid come through. He's like, oh yeah, I got done first. Woo! Yeah. He doesn't realize that he has to stand out by the cross with this around his neck the whole time. So as it's starting to weigh, some of their bags broke. So you saw some of them holding their bags like this. But this even starts to hurt after a little bit. I carried it out. These are the exact rocks we actually used. I carried it out from where the cross was to here, and I was like, man, woo, those are heavy. So, I've got 9 rocks in here, which was the average rock. And this is what the first option was. The first option was, okay, you have a choice. You can give these things to God and let Him consume it, or you can hold on to your rock. So the kids took their bags to the foot of the cross and dumped them. Now, the bags assemble, because that's one choice. This, what's left in my bag, is the next choice. Do I want to keep my bag so that one day I can fill it again? Well, the option that was given to them is, I'm not going to do this, don't worry. I don't want to set off the sprinklers in here. The option was, set it on fire. Get rid of it. Let the fire consume it. So you no longer have this to hold the sins you've made now. It's not there. I'm making a mess. Sorry. So, the song that I wrote, I want to tell you just the first verse and the chorus. As I stand at the cross, I thank you for your Son. As I stand at the cross, I thank you for the blood. We lift our voices to worship you, O Lord. I surrender all to you. I surrender all, O Lord. It's about the surrender. It's about the overcoming. It's not about me, but it is about me. But it's not about me by myself. It's making that choice. Do you choose? Do you want to be dead? Do you want to be consumed in the sins of the world, consumed by the earthly natures, gratifying the cravings of the gratifying the cravings of the flesh? Or do you want to gratify the cravings of the Spirit? When you enter that place, you change. Someone I know, I'm not going to say names, just changed jobs. Okay, I'll tell you who it is. It was my dad. And he's going to be listening to this later. And I told him this the other day. He was working for a place that it was really hard for him to work. His boss was hard on him. He's had knee problems and he's supposed to be on his feet all day. It was hard for him to work. Well, a month and a half ago, he left. God had called him back to ministry. And the day he stepped foot in that church, after he had left the place he worked previously, he was a whole different person. He had made the choice that he wanted to make changes in his life to be who God wants him to be. And he made that choice, and the weight of the world got lifted off of him. He said to me, he said, we went in the sanctuary at the church he was at, and we worshiped for about an hour straight. And he said, I was planning on waiting until the morning to do this, but too late now. And he said, it was like a bag of rocks being lifted off his shoulders. He said that. And I said, that's funny. Let me tell you about the crosswalk. And he made the choice that he wanted to change, but he had to give it to God to make that change, to make that difference. And it was like a bag of rocks being lifted off his shoulders. It was like weights. Talking to him on the phone, talking to him in person now. He's totally different than who he was before. It's a totally different person. I said to him on the phone the other day, I said, "Dad, I'm not sure who you are anymore. I don't see you every day, so I'm starting to wonder if someone's traded spots with you because you're not the same person you were." He said, "I know, because I opened that door when God knocked." And I said, "Wow." And that's when we came to the verse. Basically, what I want to end with today, I told you I wasn't going to take very long, about 25 minutes right now. I want to end with the choice. Everything, every time I teach, this is my first time preaching, so normally I teach a class. So this is a different setting for me. No one's talking back, really. There's no discussions going on. I mean, if you guys could talk back, I wouldn't want you to because I'm not sure how it would, you know, you guys could throw me off the stage. I mean, but I want to leave you with a challenge. Pray about it this week. Do you want to make that choice? Some people go, "Okay, here's the middle. I'm going to sit right here. Some days I'm going to be on the good side. Some days I'm going to be on the bad." So you're sitting on the fence. Well, there's a funny thing about the fence. The devil owns it. So if you sit on the fence your whole life, it's not going to get you anywhere. So make that choice. That's the challenge. Do you search for life? Is the title of the message for the series, The Search for Life. Are you going to search for life? It's your choice, not mine. I can't make it for you. I know I've made it for myself, and I know the decisions I've made. But what's your choice? Are you going to lay the ways of the world down at the cross and get rid of the bag that held them? The serious thing I remember, three girls took their bags and stood them next to each other, full with rocks. They wanted to relieve the pressure, but they didn't want to give up what was in the bags. They made the choice. And I give them props for not being fake. I give them props for not saying, "Oh, I'm going to give it up," and then going out and doing something different. But the fact that they had the strength and the guts to say, "I'm not ready to give this up." Some people didn't burn their bags. Some people didn't dump all their rocks. Some people kept a few of them. That's the choice you make. Do you want to let God in? Do you want to let him clean? Or are you going to put him in one room and leave the other rooms messy? How many of you guys growing up remember the Donut Man? The Donut Man was a singer we used at our church once in a while. And he had a song that said, "I don't want no stinky underwear." So, Jesus came in and cleaned the spot. But after a while, Jesus was no longer welcome. Jesus left a clean house, and the devil and seven of his friends came. Jesus came back and cleaned out all the dirty underwear. "I don't want no stinky underwear." Are you going to let him in? Are you going to let him clean house? That's where I leave you. It's your choice from here. I'm going to close with prayer. And then the service is over. You're welcome to stick around and chat. If you guys have any questions for me about what I did today, come to me. I love talking about it. any chance I get, I love talking about God. If I'm hanging outside the church here, right outside the doors after choir practice for hours, that's what it's all about. Lord, I thank You for this day and this time we've gathered together. And I pray that You just bless everyone here in the church. That as they walk out these doors, they've been touched by You and that they know You. And You bless their days and You bless their walks and You bless their thoughts. In Your holy name I pray. Amen.